Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
John, Happy New Year.
Thank you. It's been a good year so far.
Right, so far so good, right?
363 days yet?
Exactly. Who's counting? Well, it looks like winter's finally settled into Southwest, and we're busy putting on some program planning right now, but we want to make sure that if you are interested in learning more about water smart landscapes, you go out and visit me at the Tech H2O Center next Saturday. I'll be giving an introduction to water smart and earth kind, and a lot of different synonyms are out there on this. And it's just overall principles if you're looking to either retrofit your existing landscape or you're starting from scratch and want to learn about, you know, plant placement, balance between native plants and turf grass, irrigation, all that type of things. We'll give a introductory lesson on that, and that's going to be January 13th at 11 a.m. at the Tech H2O Center. And for more information, you can call 621-2000. So it is free and open to the public, but I do think they like for you to RSVP, so give them a call. And we also have another upcoming event coming up here at the UTEP campus.
Right. We have our, I guess, annual Sunscape course that we teach, and it's going to be on March 10th. And this is a day-long class that people can sign up for, and we kind of go through living here and trying to grow things here in El Paso, talk about, you know, a lot of the native plants and desert-adapted plants that can be used on our landscapes, a little bit of information on landscape design and, you know, some gardening tips on how to grow things better here in the El Paso climate, because we do have somewhat of a harsh climate. We've got a lot of things going against us, so you learn to work with those things and become more successful.
Wonderful. John, is there a phone number that people can contact you for more information?
Yeah, they can contact the museum, and it's 915-747-8994, and that'll be to Kay Mullins, and she'll take your information on attending and get you into the list. So,
excellent.
If you have any questions, you can call that number also.
Okay, wonderful. And is there a price attached?
Yes, it's $35. You get a bunch of handouts and some different things, and, you know, and it's worthwhile. Everybody that's ever taken it has always been more than satisfied with the class. So it's a great time. You know, a lot of experts on hand to ask questions of and get your questions answered.
Excellent opportunities coming up here, and very soon we'll be deep into the growing season. So it's great to get all of this education kind of under your belt, so you can kind of, when you go out there to make your purchases and installation, you have that information already in your back pocket.
Hit the ground running.
That's right. There's no other place like that. So we were looking at here for our 2018, and we know everything always kind of just goes in a cycle, and it's always a nice way to kind of look over and kind of reflect in the past, kind of your experience with gardening adventures. And we came across an article from Horticulture Magazine on some gardening New Year's resolutions for 2018. And we're just going to go ahead and run through those for our show today. And we hope that we kind of inspire you to try something a little different. So,
do you keep up with your resolutions?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's always about the effort, right? It is always about the effort, but I think at the end, it's really about just kind of pushing yourself and trying something a little bit new and different, whatever it is,
right?
Personal, gardening, whatever it is that you're looking for. So what's that first one here, John?
First one is clean out the shed and go through old materials, and that's definitely something that's great to do. Is, you know, if you have a tool shed or a garden shed, is to go through everything you have there and make sure, you know, if you got chemicals that are expired, out of date, or they've been left in the shed all winter, that's not a good thing to do. And those materials may not be effective anymore, and they need to be disposed of properly. So you need to take them to a hazardous waste recycling area where you can drop them off. And the city, I believe, still maintains some where you can drop them off, but you do physically have to take them in and drop them off. But they will get rid of them that way, but don't pour them down the drain or
toss them
out
in your trash
in the yard,
can.
Right? Because you know, no telling where they end up at, so be careful with that. But do go through things, old seed packets, some stuff might be expired, and your germination rates will drop. So, you know, that seed may not be very good. Weevils may have gotten into it, things like that. So you want to kind of go through some of those old materials and clear them out. And, you know, if some of them are still usable but you don't need them, then, you know, either give them to another gardener, or, you know, give them to Goodwill or Salvation Army or something. But don't just throw them in the trash unless they're totally not workable at all.
Right, exactly. That's always good. And it's always, when there's not a lot of good things going on in the garden, it's nice to kind of go out there and organize.
Right.
As well.
Okay, we got tip number two.
Resolution number two.
Oh,
my goodness. And here we are with take a risk and plant something new. Interesting. So that can be almost anything, right?
Right.
I mean, even if it's just a plant that you've admired for a long time, and like you have some gardening friends who give us a little seeds here and there, try it and see if it works for you. If you wanted to try whether it's an edible crop or a native crop, just try it. No sense. Nobody wants to be stuck in their own comfort zone, you know, and
right.
Especially if you're
do a little reading up on, you know, if it's a particular plant or a seed or something, read up on it and, you know, try and get it off to its best start. And, you know, who knows, you might find a new plant that really does well here.
Right, exactly.
So, that's... you know, there are certain plants that we kind of not recommend for the area, but there's always exceptions. People plant them and, you know, next thing you know, here's an azalea growing in El Paso. And so you never know. So don't let something you read stop you. Go ahead and try it, but get all the background for it first.
First, exactly. And this tip number three here is right up your alley here, John, where it says, add a new native species to your garden.
All right.
That's wonderful. That's great advice.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, El Paso doesn't have a lot of native plant nurseries to get native plants from. But, you know, if you do travel the area, you might stop at little nurseries, you know, here and there, and look at what they've got, and, you know, kind of pick up some stuff that you know, try it for the area and see if it doesn't work. Or find a plant out in the desert, and, you know, if it has some seed on it, maybe collect some of that seed and bring it home, read up a little bit on it. If it needs some, you know, some chilling,
mm-hmm.
or if it's fresh to plant, if it needs to be scarified or something, you know, kind of find out what you need to do, and then, you know, give it a try. Who knows, you might have a plant that's going to take off in your yard and stay there and, you know, do very well for you.
And you have a story to tell about it.
That's right.
Exactly. And speaking of having a story to tell, another tip coming in from Horticulture Magazine is plant something with a child. And as many listeners may know, that my children are still young, even though they're little big kids now, but it's definitely something that we like to do. And the younger the child is, the more easier they are to willing to help in the garden. And
some
as they get
older,
little,
people are childlike too.
Exactly. It's very true. But, you know, it's really interesting to be able to see the seeds that you sow, for lack of a better term, on that, where kids start to realize and identify different plants, even when you're just walking down the street or it looks familiar to them. And at this point, it doesn't really matter for me if my kids want to help or water or just get dirty and be outside. I think there's a lot of benefits to be able to plant, be in the garden with a child.
It's especially good nowadays to unplug a child.
Exactly.
And get them out in nature, get them a little sunshine.
Exactly. Unplug from the Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi in the garden.
Right. They usually have that curiosity. Just give them some seed and tell them to plant it, and you'll kind of get them started. But
and they love it. They really do. They really enjoy it. Excellent. So we're going to move on here to our tip number five, which is, do some garden volunteering.
That's up both our alleys.
There you go.
Now, the gardens here at UTEP, we're always looking for volunteers, you know, if they want to help out in the garden, learn a little bit about some of the native plants that are here on campus. You know, you can volunteer here at the garden. Of course, Denise has the Master Gardener program. The training on it won't start till next fall, but you can get some information on that gardening program, and, you know, get a little bit involved with AgriLife, and you'll get involved with some of the things that are going, some of the workshops and classes they teach, and you'll see their vegetable garden. They're teaching vegetable garden.
Exactly, down at Escarity
Learn a lot
Park.
About that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have our plant sale coming up at the end of April, and we're always looking for volunteers to help with that. So whether you know a lot about plants or very little, we always need help with people cashiering, you know, helping to carry plants out, you know, work the wagons, you know, exit right. monitors, you know, a lot of different needs. So, again, volunteering, we'd be glad to see volunteers to help out. And you can contact me at the museum or contact Denise at Texas AgriLife.
Right, exactly.
So, but volunteering is good. Makes you feel good when you've helped somebody out.
Most definitely. It's about giving back to the community at whole. So, all right, very good. So let's see. Look at number six here, where it says learn something and teach something. And oh my goodness, and the best way that you know that you've learned something is to be able to break that down and teach somebody else to do that.
Right.
So it's always the pay it forward mentality. We implement this as well with our Master Gardener volunteers as well, where we train this group of volunteers and be able to go and teach the community at large. So it can be a combination of just having another landscape steward, native plant person out there, or even just an advocate out in the community to be able to really have that information behind them when they're trying to push to for our green spaces.
Everybody has some kind of skill.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may not feel comfortable teaching, but there's probably some skill that you know about that somebody else doesn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And you can teach that skill. It may be just 2 or 3 minutes, it may be a half hour, you know, but there are things to teach, and there's, you know, unfortunately in our society now, a lot of the elderly people that had good skills, the younger ones have not picked it up. It has not been passed down like it has in
past generations.
And so there's a lot of old hand skills, you know, with tools and techniques that aren't being passed down. And so we're losing some of those skills. So, again, you may not think your skill's worth anything, but, you know, people would still like to hear about it.
Right, exactly.
So don't sell yourself short.
Right, most definitely. So there's always something new, something to learn about.
All right, next one is plant a food that you haven't tried before.
Oh.
So, you know, that weird kohlrabi?
Oh, right.
Give it a try.
Exactly. It's not too bad. Yeah. I tasted that from a soils professor many years ago who grew kohlrabi in his home garden. That's my first exposure to it. And it's quite tasty. It's interesting. He would kind of eat it like an apple. But yeah, it's pretty. I mean, I guess with the little fronds. I don't know, like really like lacy kind of leaves on there too.
Yeah,
so.
It's a interesting plant. I mean, it looks like something from outer space.
Right.
But it does have some color to the leaves, and you know, you don't have to necessarily plant it in a straight row like a vegetable. You can actually plant it in with some of your bedding plants, and it can actually become part of your shrub bed, you know, give some color.
Right, right.
So, and then you can eat it.
Exactly. Then you can eat it. Well, we're almost out of time, John, and we got to, seven of our New Year's resolutions. And
we can hit some of these real quick.
Yeah, actually, we hit this up the next week that we're at. So I think we have still some time to be able to visit at our next show. But before we go, we want to make sure that we kick off our 2018 with our plant of the week. It's something we started last year, and we're really happy to bring that back to you. So, John, do you want to talk about our nomination?
Okay, our nomination for this week is Dominita. And Dominita is a great little native plant. It's evergreen, a little mounding kind of green shrub that has beautiful yellow flowers on it in the spring and summer. It likes probably blooms a little bit more when we get the heat, but it has a beautiful aromatic smell to it when you rub the foliage on it. But it's and the scientific name on it is Chrysoctenia mexicana, and it's, a great plant. Common name is Dominita, which is not a real easy thing to roll off your tongue there, but but it's a great plant and can be found in a lot of the garden centers and nurseries and stuff. So great plant, should be utilized a lot more. Needs full sun, so it does well in full sun. And as with most of our plants, first couple of years you need to kind of baby it and take care of it, and then you can start backing off on the water and, you know, those kind of things. But great plant to use. So.
And great one to kick off for 2018. Excellent. Wonderful. Well, we want to thank you for listening to today's show and thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing Good to Grow. We want to thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.